on Friday, the 29th of March, 2024, 14 players of the under-16s of Fight Club JFC, 3 siblings and 9 parents met up in the car park of Summerdale Pavilion at 1:30 in the morning and got on a coach and set off for Holland for the Easter Open South tournament. Ahead of them was an almost 18-hour journey, 2 days of football, and then a return journey. As part of that, they would play 6 30-minute matches. More importantly, they would bond as a team and as friends. This is the Green Green Grassroots of Football Goes on European Tour. So, finally on our way. How did we get here?
It was your plan all the way back from under sevens, wasn't it? I think when we started, was the plan was always for them, the boys, for the end of their journey, was to go on a massive tour away to Holland or wherever.
We've done tours before, though, haven't we?
We have in the UK, yeah, little tours.
So what were those tours?
It was Paignton. We did Paignton.
Yeah. That was what was Paignton? That was an organised.
Yeah.
SCS tour, whatever it was. Yeah, no, wasn't sofa tours. But that was an organised tour down to Paignton. We had 2 days of matches.
Yeah.
And we stayed at
Park Dean,
yes, it was. And about, was it 8 or 9 of players came down on that one, or 7 or 8 players?
Yeah, about 10, wasn't it? Because we had 2 teams.
Did we? Yes. Because it was 5-a-side, wasn't it?
5-a-side, so that'd be at least 10, maybe more.
Yeah. I remember one of the actually, we played Mansfield Town.
We did play Mansfield Town.
They took a team down. So that was quite good fun. And then the following year, not enough wanted to do it again, but we entered
the Western
tournament. And we entered it as a local team this time.
Yeah, which was good.
Which meant all we had to do was travel down. Now, half of us came down and stayed in a local Premier Inn and just stayed overnight. We didn't want to pay to sort of stay on the camp, it was quite expensive. And then the others just travelled down each day.
And for any teams and stuff that want to do, you know, to keep the costs down, certainly in these current times, to enter as a local tournament, if you've got a beach or somewhere like that, is a good way to start off to see how people get on and enjoy it, so.
And we did the 2 days there, and then before the presentation, we all went off to, is it Breen Leisure Park?
Yeah.
And that was good fun, actually. The boys had a great time.
Yeah, and I said on the Saturday we went on the pier and adults got to socialise. Yeah, it was good.
I think you've done it as well with your girls.
Yeah, we did the girls the same, the local Breen one last year. We're doing one even slightly, again, cheaper this year. We're just entering a local Western tournament.
Oh, yeah.
So that's just going to be on the one day, on the Sunday, but we're going to go up on the Saturday. The girls then can beach, pier.
Whatever. Oh, nice. But that's just like a local grassroots tournament.
Yeah.
And then we chatted about it. We want to do a bigger tournament. And I said, done this before, go to Europe, have an end on a high. We didn't do it as under 15s because...
it was just after COVID.
It was after, but also, by the time we'd sorted it and found the right tournament, too many of them had already booked holidays.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, let's do this one instead.
Yeah.
So now we're on our way. We're heading to Dover first. We've got a 6-hour drive ahead of us. Then we've got a ferry crossing.
Yeah.
And then another 5 or 6 hours till we get there.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then we'll have 2 days of football.
Yeah.
And then we'll head back. And we'll check back in afterwards.
Yeah. See you later.
See you later. So day one has come to a close. It's been a long day. We set out at 1:30 in the morning, Good Friday. We got to Dover at 6 in the morning, after stopping at Reading and changing drivers. When we reached Dover, we went up one road, wrong way, back. Down another road, wrong way, back. Ben sat at the front saying, it's that road, which one? The one you just passed. Okay, turn round, go back. It's that road, which one? The one you've just passed. Okay, go back again. And eventually we got it and went through and sat in our holding queue, and before you knew it, we were on our way to the ferry terminal. We hung around at Dover for a short while, got our passports out, put them away, got our passports out, put them away, got our passports out, put them away. In the end, no one actually looked at them. We had already scanned them on the P&O app, which was good. We'd done that at Cobham Services over a cup of coffee. So we'd already done that earlier. And then we were waved onto the ferry. Our ferry was due at 10 o'clock. We got onto the 8:30. We all headed upstairs, sat around upstairs, about an hour and a half crossing, bit choppy. One or two felt a bit queasy, but generally it was okay. The other side, there were one or two of ours worse for wear, and not because of the way, not because of the water and the tides, more for the imbibing of alcohol in the bar. But it did allow them to sleep off the next part of the journey. We then stopped somewhere in Holland, I believe, at a services. We got some more food, and then the last leg of our journey brought us into Het Hydrobos Centre Parks at around about 6:30 in the evening, 18 hours almost after we'd got going. Once we reached Centre Parks, everyone dismounted, got themselves into their lodges, and before you know it, all the players were in the pool. A few of the parents decided to relax in the bar. One parent had a cup of tea looking over the lake from the back of her lodge, and beautiful picture in the dark, it's very nice. And a few of us went into the pool and either went in the pool with the boys or sat on the side to make sure they were okay. Picked up some provisions and headed back to the lodges, where we thought that would be it. However, in my lodge, I'm now sat on my own talking to my dictaphone while my little charge is in bed sleeping, and the players with me have all gone out again. Not just the four of them, but a few others as well. So they're off for a wander around to see what's happening. Or they might be in another lodge just having a laugh. But the main thing is they're having fun, they're bonding, they're enjoying it. So that's day one over. It's been a good day. I've slept a lot in Venice. Quite a few have, but a lot of the boys haven't, so it'd be interesting to see what they're like in the morning and at the matches tomorrow. 3 half-hour games, here we go. So, we've just finished day one. We were at Langenboomen Sports Park. We had three matches. So, match one, we played Herning Fremad. They were a Danish team. It was quite a tight game, actually. They had a goal disallowed for offside. It was clearly offside, but they disagreed quite vociferously, didn't they?
They did, but yeah.
It was a good game. It was a close game.
50-50 game.
Yeah, it was end-to-end, and that ended 0-0. What do you think of them? They were quite physical, weren't they, actually?
They were physical. They played some nice football, though. They were quick.
Yes.
Again, a different style of football. They said what we found with them, and throughout the day, they weren't used to the press. They certainly didn't press, so we had a bit more. They did have more time on the ball.
Yeah, and I thought, I wonder if they underestimated a bit, because as they brought their subs on, I thought they improved as they brought their subs on, and I wonder if their manager underestimated us a bit.
I would have thought so, I think.
Because as he brought his subs on, they did improve, but by then, of course, it's very hard to get into the game, isn't it, as you do that.
So yeah, they definitely improved as it came on, and they got stronger. So.
Yes, but we were still
chances. So,
yeah, definitely had chances. And then match two, definitely the hardest game. They'd won their first game 10-0. That was a tough game, wasn't it?
Although, was a tough game.
We took the lead. And
a hell of a goal.
Really good goal by Alwyn.
Yeah, very good goal.
Fought his way past it. It was two players. Yeah. Spotted the keeper off his line and hit a stunning sort of long-range shot over the keeper. Everyone went nuts on the line, didn't they?
And then we had one disallowed for offside as well, didn't we?
Yeah, and that was Olympia 18. Yeah. They were a Dutch team. And then they equalised, and I was quite annoyed about the equaliser, because player was down injured. We put the ball out, and we were under no pressure, and we put the ball out for a throw. But of course, when we put the ball back in, they pushed right up on us.
Yeah.
So we were then under pressure, and they won the ball back high, and we conceded a free kick. And it was like, hold on, we weren't in that position when we put the ball out.
No.
And I felt that was a bit unfair. And from that free kick, they shot it into the bottom corner. And I was quite annoyed about that. Because I suppose we would probably have done the same, but it's still galling to see it happen.
Yeah.
And I don't think they deserved that equaliser. No. Yes, they were strong, and yes, we would put us under pressure. But that was the only proper shot they
had. They didn't create, I mean, Jude did well in the...
Yeah, they had sort of shots from distance, but nothing he had to really scramble for, you know? And then the final game, and we said to the boys, look, we've got to hit, 11 goals?
11.
And hope that there's a draw on the other match.
Yeah.
And as it turned out, they scored quite early.
Yeah.
9.
Impressive. And that was against Bagsvard Bold Club, yeah, another Danish side. And it took us a while to get going there, didn't it? We didn't.
It did. We didn't. About 12 minutes or so before we scored. 10 minutes, something like that.
And then after we did,
Their heads went.
Their heads went, yeah. And but we played well, though. It wasn't like we were sort of doing silly. We were still good passing football. We were looking to play. So that was good.
Boys did very well and should be proud, yeah.
And then, and then it turned out, because of the way the groups are structured, we were one of the two best runners-up.
Yeah.
So we're into day two, which is going to be good tomorrow.
Yeah, day two in the top, you know, I think there's 24 teams entered, wasn't it? And we're worst we can finish is 8th.
Yes, well, it's going to be an interesting day tomorrow.
Yeah.
Very, very good teams. I mean, I think Luton are in it, aren't they?
Luton are there, Spartans, I think, was Scottish second.
I think Chesterfield Academy, I think I saw a team from Ipswich maybe here as well, so... They may not be in our group, but if we get through, we could be facing one of those sorts of teams. So tomorrow will be an interesting day, but we're looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And the boys are excited, the boys are enjoying it.
It's been a great experience from a great bonding experience. Whatever happens tomorrow, they should be proud of themselves.
Yeah. And are you enjoying obviously you had the trip. What do you think of the trip here, the long day, to get here yesterday?
I think it was a long journey, but again, it was a good bonding experience. The lads all behaved, all got on, had a good laugh. Adults were entertaining.
There was some drinking, was there?
Yeah, just a bit. But yeah, all in all, yeah.
But nothing over the top, was it? Nothing silly. It was all just good natured fun.
It was all good banter, good fun, and very enjoyable. Excellent fun for everybody, really.
So,
Enjoy this last day of football and stuff, and then travel back on Monday.
Yeah, so on to day 3.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Come back to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Cheers, Andy.
Cheers. Day 2 has come to an end. Been a really good day. Most people got up, had a walk around. Some went up the restaurants, had breakfast. Others went for walks. The boys got themselves up, got themselves ready. We met for the coach, had a photo in our tour polo shirts. Got on the coach and met at the ground quite early, actually, more earlier than we needed to be there, but it's what the itinerary said, so we did it. Had a look round. As usual, they're very, very good facilities in Holland. We were here 12 years ago, myself and one of the parents with his other son, and we remarked on it then, and nothing's changed. They're very, very good facilities, well laid out. And we watched some of the games and we thought, wow, these teams are very good, they're very physical. And we got ourselves ready, we played the first game. It ended with a 0-0 draw. Quite contentious. One of their players was quite vociferous. They had a goal chalked off for offside. It was offside, so, you know, can't argue. Second game was a team who'd won their first game 10-0, and we were like, wow, this could be difficult. But to our credit, we fought hard. We actually went 1-0 up. And then a player went down injured. It was one of ours. We put the ball out. We were near our goal area. The player received treatment, had to come off. And when we put the ball out, we were under absolutely no pressure whatsoever. But we put the ball out. But when we then took, it was a throw in, they pushed right up on us. And although we took the throw in under no pressure, as soon as the ball came in, they were on us. So where we had the ball in easy possession with no pressure, suddenly we received it back under possession. We lost it then very quickly, and they were right on the edge of our area where we conceded a free kick, and they smashed it in to equalise, and that's how it ended. And I thought that was quite unfair. We should have won that game, and they were a good side, and we should have beaten them. And then we played the final game. The team that the ones we had just drawn with had beaten 10-0, and we thought, what's going to happen here? Because the team who had lost 10-0 had then played the team we had drawn with in the first game 0-0 and had only lost 4-0. So we thought, okay, they're better than they look, but we were immense, and took us a little while to get going. But once we did, their heads dropped and we ended up putting 9 past them. So we can see how the other team did 10, because, you know, it gets to a certain stage where the other team do give up. We ended up second on goal difference in the end. The team who we drew with 1-1 in the second game won the third game against the team we had drawn 0-0 in the first game, and the player who'd been really vociferous and arguing got sent off, and made all the difference. In fact, from the sending off, they had a free kick and they scored from that free kick, and then they'd won 1-0, so we came second in the group. But because there were less teams this time around in the tournament, the format was 2 of the best second place teams went through with goal difference, and we were one of them, so into the top group on day 2, which is an excellent day. Then back to the centre park, set Hydro Boss, and all the boys straight in the pool, and just an absolute fantastic evening. 2-3 hours just having fun in the pool. We all then met up in the bar, hoping to watch Manchester United versus Brentford, and unfortunately it wasn't on. So that was that. I was with one of my youngest grandsons, so he said he was tired, came back to our lodge, and there's about 6 or 7 of the players in the lodge. I was like, oh, okay, this is where we're meeting up. And it turns out they were meeting up for a game of Manhunt, and by 10 o'clock every single player plus I think 2 of the siblings were also in there, which was, for me, brilliant. You know, the entire team, not just a few of them, the entire team were meeting up, organizing to do a, I hesitate to use the word team building, but it is. It builds team spirit, it builds team unity, and it builds friendships, because yes, they are friends, but they don't go to school together. There's 3 different schools here, but it still builds great friendships. And they're arguing good naturedly about, it's a game of Manhunt, so who's going out, who's hunting, who's running, and they're saying, oh, it should be you, it should be you. They arrived late for the bus, oh, they weren't here in time. And it was just good natured fun. I was actually sat having a cup of coffee in the background watching it. Absolutely brilliant. And then off they all went. And that was the end of day 2. Roll on day 3. Okay, so I'm here with Gaz. He's one of the coaches of the team. And also the key fundraiser for this tour. And so Gaz, you were heavily involved in not just fundraising, but, you know, when we were discussing this, you know, when we talked about it, you were like, this will help us if we raise funds. So tell us how you got involved, what you did.
So my son Bradley plays for the team, and I've got a little boy Robbie who plays for the under 11s as well, so I've really wanted him to share the experience, and I'm sure some of the other parents we've got a couple of other sort of siblings here as well. So, and obviously it's quite a costly place to come. So wanted to raise some funds to help pay for some of the families and the players to come. So had some discussions with the parents, and I think the best thing was, and Somerdale Pavilion, thanks to them for helping us out, was they allowed us to use the Somerdale Pavilion for free on an evening. And the idea was to have a race night. So the race night involves, obviously, trying to get as many people there as you can. Lots of races. 50% goes to the club. I think all of it goes to the club. Yeah, we just pay the fee.
Yeah, we have done charity events in the past, yeah, where we've been, but for this one, it was specifically for this tour, wasn't it?
That's correct, yeah. Yeah. So we had the racing on. We had a raffle, so loads of local businesses really supported us with that. We had around 30 raffle prizes, some of them probably worth between sort of £300-400 as well.
We did auctions.
So we did lots of four ball golf, including some really prestigious courses like the Belfry. We had sort of tickets to football, like Manchester United and stuff. So we had some fantastic prizes, and we raised, through the raffle tickets alone, we raised about £1,500. And then with the race night, everything else, I think the end figure was about £3,800 we raised altogether.
Yeah, and so all the boys were basically told, look, sell raffle tickets, yep, and that will go towards the cost of your tour, yep, to help you towards it. And then on the night itself, how many people turned up on the night?
Well, we had 200 at least. Yeah. So it was a case of getting as many people there as you can, friends, family. We had a lot of support from the other teams as well.
Not just Fighters teams. I mean, Caicham Town turned up as well.
Yeah, some of the Caicham boys, some of the Red Falcons parents as well. Yeah.
So it was a really good community event. They supported us. It wasn't just like it's our team. There was a cross-section of our local community turned up to help, which was really, really good, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a very successful night, and quite hectic, yeah, with all the organising and everything.
Because you were right in the centre of that, weren't you?
Yeah, it was.
Did you get to race? Did you get to place any bets yourself?
No, I was behind the counter taking the bets for most of it.
Did you end up dressing up as a jockey though?
I didn't know that was Mark. That's one thing I refused to do. I did everything else. But
so
I'm
my co-podcast host dressed as a jockey.
Yeah. The guy who came in and did it, remember his name now, really, real shame, but he was fantastic. He really got the crowd going. We had lots of different competitions as well, things like Pound in the Bucket. We had lots of sponsors for each races, as well as the raffle prizes, so I went round to Cajun High Street and pretty much walked into every shop or pub on the high street and close to Keynsham asking if they'd sponsor us. Some of them sponsored races, some of them provided raffles, and we put their sponsors on a big screen in order to promote their business and everything, and had business cards on tables. So
because Summit Elf, it's got three screens inside of it, hasn't it? So you had to put sponsors on one screen and then race on another one.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a really successful night. Yeah, really good.
And this is the sort of thing that any club looking to do this sort of tour or event needs to be looking at doing, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. It's a fundamental if you want to, you know, get the more fundraising you can do, the more families you'll get going with you, and the better experience for the kids. And the kids are going to look back on this. We've had a great time so far, and they're going to look back on this, you know, with amazing memories.
So how's it been for you so far as well? Because we're now on our way to day two of the tournament.
Yep.
How's it been for you so far?
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. The coach journey was a long journey, but it was quite exciting because it's something we haven't really done before. And there's so much you can do, like, you know, watch Netflix for a bit, and the boys were all sat at the back having a laugh and a bit of banter. My little one's now sat with them, my 11-year-old, so he's enjoying all the fun, and he's kind of abandoned me now, whereas I thought I'd have to look after him.
Well, that's good for you, isn't it? I mean, I've got my grandson with me, he's only seven, and yet I at the very start he was like, I want to sit with you, and yet within minutes almost he was back with them. He's in with me, but he's with them almost all the time as well.
Yeah.
So it's a nice thing for us, but it's also great that they've accepted our littler ones as well as part of their group.
Absolutely, yeah, 100%.
So it's an amazing experience. Obviously, the older boys, your older son, he's like, he's part of that team, but it's an amazing experience. They've listened on, like, who's with us? Okay, you're not part of the team, nor you, but it doesn't matter. It's just, we're all boys on tour. Let's go for it.
They've looked after him really well, to be fair.
It's just been a fantastic
experience.
The
swimming pool and everything.
Yeah.
It's been amazing. My only downside is I've got a really bad cold, which is typical and the sun's out as well. But hopefully that'll go for the last day or so. And then, but the football's been amazing. Really, really proud of the boys because they were fantastic yesterday. We had some really good results. But most importantly, the performances were fantastic. We thought we might get a couple of hammer-ins because you just never know who's going to turn up for these, a lot of academies, but they held their own, and I think we surprised a few teams, and it was a great day, and I'm hoping for another one today.
And you're involved with the under 11s,
and
you're considering this now.
You want to
consider this sort of tour for your team, as you're into Europe, for your team as well?
Yeah, so for the under-11s, we've done a couple of tours.
As we did when we were younger.
Yeah, so we've done Devon Cliffs down in Sandy Bay. We've done that a couple of years. We're going there again this year. I'm just playing a couple of local teams. When we get to under-16s, we want to do exactly the same thing. And it'd be nice if the club also does a similar thing each year.
Mm.
So that's something I'd like to promote and maybe support with. Obviously, it depends on the coaches, whether that's what they want to do. But, you know, it'd be great. It's a great experience for, you know, the final year of grassroots kids football.
Yeah.
To do something like this, and it's friendships made forever, and it might not be their last year, they might continue under 18s, but it's something they're going to look back on for years.
But having been involved in the fundraising, we did it all this year. I mean, would you consider, when I did it 12 years ago, we started, I think, 2 years earlier.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, at what point do you recommend you need to start getting involved in this?
As early as possible.
As a team.
I mean, now really, because I think we had our race night in November. It was November. And that took 3 months, I think, to plan. So we're already getting there where you need to start thinking about it. You need to start getting to businesses to sponsor it.
Mm. But if you're under 11s, at some point you're going to say, right, if we're going to go as under, say, 15s or under 16s, at some point, say, under 14s, it's like, right, at this point, we now need to start raising, saving.
Yeah, so I've done a lot of fundraising with the under 11s. I've held a couple of adult tournaments as well, where we've made around sort of £800, 50% of that going to the Children's Hospice.
Yeah.
So we tend to do quite a lot of fundraising in our group, and we've got some really good parents who support that. So I think we'll be looking a couple of years in advance and starting already, say 2 or 3 years before, to start putting some money towards that.
Yeah.
Just keep up the good work, Renee.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Cheers.
So, I'm now here with Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Andy.
So, you and I go back a number of years. We did this tour 12 years ago when your middle child, Sam, was under 15s. And so when we were chatting about this a few years ago, we were like, let's do this again. So yeah. How's this tour different? Or is it different? Or is it like, yep, this is exactly the same as it was 12 years ago?
Yeah, it's pretty much exactly the same.
Yeah. Just different parents.
Different parents. More annoying.
More annoying. So we're looking around the coach at certain parents. Yeah, more annoying bunch.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
I can't remember a lot about the nights, really.
Yeah. But the lads we've got, both sets, back then they were a good bunch of lads. We got to the final back then, didn't we?
Yeah.
We won our group first day.
I think the standard was a bit better.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah, football. Looking at it yesterday, I think the stronger teams in this one than what there was in the last one.
Yeah.
We were cheating in the last one, weren't we?
We were cheating out of it last time, yes. Definitely. Well, that's a
thing. So please see what today brings.
But you were very much a driving force this time round. You said to me, you know,
it's good for the kids, isn't it?
It is, it is. But, you know, but it was you who very much said, let's do the European tour again. So I do appreciate the push, as it were.
Yeah.
And how's Ollie found it? Is he enjoying it? I know.
Is Ollie here? Is he?
Apparently he is. Yeah. He's unfortunately Ollie's been injured a few weeks back, so he's been unable to play. But he's still come along and
he's done it. He's joined in with him when he can. He's enjoying it, I think. Yeah. It's good. The park's good, isn't it? Centre Morris is good. It's a really good one. I think it's a bit bigger than the last time we stayed in.
Yeah.
A bit more for him to do. I've been keeping Ben and Andy on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, you've kept them well heeled.
I'm like the responsible adult.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Sure, it's, so go and interview him, mate.
Yeah, without you, they'd be going off the rails, would they?
I think so.
This is it. This is the problem you have with some plum parents. They can't control themselves, can they?
No, that's it. But luckily as well, we've managed to keep everything in line because we get fed data off Dan.
Oh, do you? Dan?
Yeah.
So Dan, another parent, is keeping all the data in check
for us.
Yeah,
he keeps it.
It's good to know.
And Ben's stats.
Ben does the stats for us. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Andy goes to the bar.
Andy goes to the bar for us.
Which is probably a very important part of the day.
So as you can hear, listeners, there is some good banter on this tour, which we'd recommend any group go on a European tour. And we've got some people scoring in Europe, which is a good thing as well.
Yes.
So.
Right. Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
So, Dave.
Thanks for that.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Okay, so we're back on the bus. That was the second day of the tournament over. A bit more difficult, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it was a hard day for the lads yesterday, but I mean the standard of the opposition was exceptional. You know, some really good teams we were playing. So
yeah, I mean we did really well to get into that top group, did we?
Yeah, I mean to get into the top eight, I think we were the only grassroots team to get there. I think the rest were academies and associated with pro clubs. So
well, this is it. I spoke to who was I spoke to? Cambrian and Clydach Vale, and they said they're one tier below pro academy. Spartans. Well, they're linked to the Spartans FC club in League Two Scotland. So we're talking proper development teams and academy teams. And we're Division 4 grassroots local team from Bristol.
Yeah.
And you know, we've got through the main group into the final top tier group. I mean, that's fantastic for the boys. It shows the level of commitment and play.
Yeah,
from yesterday was amazing.
Fantastic achievement for them, and they did really well. So anyway,
looking back at it, I mean, game one, it was Olympia 18 actually again, and we played in match 2 yesterday, and we drew 1-1 yesterday. And I thought they were lucky actually to equalise. I thought that, I know they had a lot of the possession, but it was because we'd given the ball away for an injury.
Yeah.
And they scored from there. And this one, this time they took the lead, and then your Bradley scored a stunning equaliser.
Yeah.
And it was actually, I thought, a more equal game today than yesterday. But then they stole it with two goals in the last, 4 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it was unusual for our boys in the first, and I think it was the third game as well, we had a player sin bin as well,
which didn't help. Because they were yellow, for this tournament, if you get a yellow card, it's a 5 minute sin bin. And it was for a trip. And yeah. And everyone could see, actually, the boy tripped over his own legs. It wasn't a trip.
No.
And then, game five, Cambrian and Clydach Vale Academy. Yes. I mean, this is the team where it turns out they're one tier below Academy level. But I look back at that game, one of the goals came, nothing against our linesman, but two of their players were offside when they went through, and he missed it. Unfortunately, he was slightly behind play, but we were in line with it. One of the balls bobbled over Jacob's foot as he went to clear it,
yeah.
And they scored. And then another one, the shot came in, it bobbled over Jude's foot and goal.
Yeah.
So three of the goals
were perfect,
just
unlucky.
Unlucky. So I'm not saying they wouldn't have scored more had they not gone in, but they didn't have many more shots.
No, like I said, it was again, I mean, we had a couple of chances, and again, the lads battled hard in that game. I think their heads went the last 5-10 minutes,
yeah.
But it was just understandable, again, after a long weekend. But
I think looking at the six games we've played, that's probably the only one where I think their heads have actually dropped.
Yeah.
I mean, even the last game, we'll move on to that one now. Spartans, again, development team of the League 2 Scottish team. We lost 4-0 that one, but their heads didn't drop like it did in game five. They kept going that way. In fact, the last 15...
It was an even game.
Possibly the best performance I've seen. Even though we won 9-0 yesterday, I thought it was the best performance I've seen them play.
They kept going. They had a few chances. I think we hit the bar, I think we did.
But against that development side of a League 2 Scottish side, we played some good football and good possession football. And we forced them into a yellow card sin bin as well.
Yeah.
That's the pressure we were putting them under. And it wasn't just like kick and rush, it was pass and move stuff. So
we played some good football. Like I said, after a long weekend, a lot of football, a lot of travelling, late nights and everything. They played really well. So, fair shout to them.
So good day. So now we've got is the last night at the Centre Park, and then the journey home tomorrow.
Yeah, and it's been a great tour so far. Yeah. A great experience for the lads, great memories. Yeah. I recommend it for anyone.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
No, cheers, mate. Thank you.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Day three has come to an end. And what a difference. I mean, we got into the top group by way of one of the best second places, and that we did it on goal difference, and deservedly so, don't get me wrong, deservedly so. But what a difference. We were the first game we actually played Olympia 18 again, who we'd faced on day two as it were of the tour, but day one of the tournament, and we drew with them 1-1, and we'd taken the lead against them, and we'd held on. This time they took the lead and we actually came back and we equalised. It was a stunning goal by Bradley Grinter. Really was a stunning long range effort, and I thought we were good for the draw, and were unfortunate that they got two goals in the final 4 minutes to get the win. And it was just unfortunate, really. We should have held on for the draw. The referees over here is strange. We had this yesterday where our linesman was flagging clear offside. I mean, absolute clear offside. 1 yard, 2 yards offside. And they were just waving play on. And we were asking them afterwards, I didn't think it was offside. Well, what's the point of having linesmen? It's almost as though they don't trust, whether they don't trust the English. We were watching games on day one, and the linesmen were just, their linesmen, whether it's Dutch or Danish, whoever the gate teams were, we just stood on the halfway line watching. We weren't even in line. And the teams they were actually being linesmen for were just being hammered. And in the end, the ref had to go over and tell the person, you've got to keep up with play. But our linesman is up with play. And on this occasion we watched, he flagged. And clearly offside, and the referee was 30 yards behind play and just waved play on. And our linesman at the end of the game walked up to the ref and said, what's the point of having us? You know, it's insulting. And he's like, well, I didn't think he was offside. It's like, you're nowhere near in line. And that was quite frustrating for us. It questions our integrity. It questions the integrity of our linesmen. And it kind of calls into question, what's the point of even having them if you're not going to even use them, especially when they're so far behind. If the ref had been in line, I'd understand it. But anyway, rant over. It didn't lead to a goal, but of course it... And the two coaches, I mean, Mark's obviously one of the coaches on our team, and Gaz is another coach in our team. It didn't lead to a goal, but instead of having a free kick on the halfway line, instead we've got a goal kick, and that's 40 yards back. So yes, it does make a difference. You know, free kick on the halfway line with good delivery. We've got two options. We can play it short and work it forwards, or we can deliver it right into the edge of their area or into the penalty spot and put, you know, potentially head on goal. So it makes a massive difference. But hey, that was that. The next game, we played a Welsh team, an academy team, and we spoke to them afterwards, and they said, yeah, we're actually one level below Premier League status as an academy. It's like, oh, thanks, Ed. And they were... They beat us 4-0. Although, in fairness, and without criticising our linesman having just defended him in the first one, he was behind play, and the first goal, they had two players offside, about a yard offside, and he was slightly behind, whereas we, myself and our coaches, were in line. So actually, the first goal was offside. Two more goals, and I'm not criticising the pitch. They had a lot of rain and a lot of games, but one of our defenders went to clear it, and it bobbled over his foot and went to their player and shot. And then another one, a shot came in, our keeper went to clear it, and it bobbled over his foot. So actually, only really one of their goals was a well-worked goal. I mean, don't get me wrong, we didn't have a lot of pressure in their half. I'd say we put their goalie, perhaps one good, decent shot, and two or three periods of pressure. So it was mainly them, don't get me wrong. But in terms of the actual goals, yeah, one goal. It was actually a decent goal. The rest were, you know, errors caused by the pitch or our own making. But to go toe-to-toe with an academy one level below Premier League level, I thought the boys were immense. I really did. And then the final game, we played Spartans FC, who play in League 2 of the Scottish Football League. It's their development side. The scoreline was the same, 4-0. But actually, in the first 15 minutes... they'd taken a 3-0 lead, and our boys were tiring by then. We only had one sub. You know, I mean, we should have come with possibly four subs, and we came with one due to injuries. And I mean injuries, one player who was injured almost at the start of the season, and he's like, I'm coming on tour because by then I'll be fine. It just hadn't cleared up. And then two players who picked up injuries two weeks before the tournament, before we came on tour. So we had one sub, and, you know, within teams making 3-4 changes, so they're much fresher. But the last 15 minutes, we actually, I thought, rallied and put them under a lot of pressure, and were good value, actually, for 0-0 for the majority of the second 15 minutes of that game. And they only actually scored their fourth with about 2 minutes to go. And again, you know, we're talking a Scottish League 2 academy side. So... yes, it was much, much more difficult, but one massive credit for the boys to get into that final group. You know, we finished in the top 8 out of 24 teams attending this tournament, and the boys are just a massive credit to the club. Yeah, we saw head starts drop at times, but by the time we're back at the centre parks, they're talking about what they're going to do, go swimming, do this, play some games in the evening. And it was great because I've come back to my lodge again after a night with some of the parents to sort of celebrate the end of the tour, and all the boys are in my lodge again like they were last night, chatting about just various things. They've done their games, whatever they were doing, they were sort of again doing manhunt, and they just sat around chatting, just having a laugh, just chilling, just having a giggle amongst themselves, talking about people they know, calling up some friends. And bear in mind, there's three different school group friends here, so they don't even go to, a lot of them don't even go to the same school, but it doesn't matter, they've bonded, they're friends. And that's what matters. So for that, it's been brilliant. So yeah, that's the end of day 3 of the tour. Whilst it's been much harder, still been fantastic.
Okay, so I'm here with some players. If I could get some names out of you, first names, and then what you thought of the tour. Anyone?
Charlie Scott.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
What did you like about it?
I liked the place that we were at, and I liked the food.
Anyone else? Come on. What goes on tour doesn't have to stay on tour. As long as you're not incriminating anyone in a police matter, what did you get up to, guys? Come on.
Oh, we got some pretty incriminating stuff.
Come on, someone else. Come on.
Bob. Huh? Your turn. Speaking to the camera.
Someone else. Anyone? Seriously, guys.
Guys, come on, please help.
Jacob,
do you have anything?
We got Captain here.
Yeah, come on.
Step up. Am I just speaking now?
Yeah, just speak with you. That's fine there.
Jacob.
Yep.
Captain. Number 8. It's pretty good. The pizzas were nice that we bought in the freezer twice. The pasta was nice on the first night as well that I made. Yeah. A bit annoying that we had to clean our own rooms though. Because that took a long time. I made us late for the bus.
And the water park was banging.
Oh yeah, rappers were very dangerous.
So what were you guys doing like on the evening? Because I came back to the rooms and there was no one there. So what are you guys doing? Come on.
Josh was looking at windows. We were just sat outside.
Really?
We were actually just sat outside.
We were talking about school as well. That is
homework. Discussing homework.
Actual weird thing is, we actually were.
Yeah.
Because we found out that Josh is actually quite smart.
Is this true, Josh?
Yeah.
Why are you smart?
Just down.
Just got that natural talent.
Come on. Manhunt, who won? Who was the best?
I think it was Ollie, because Ollie was the only one that couldn't walk, so we just hid, and everyone else just walked around in the apron.
Anyone else?
Yep.
Ronnie!
What's your thoughts on the tour?
It was amazing. I loved it.
Yeah,
that's great.
Josh? Any more thoughts?
No. Dan, Ollie.
Grinters.
As you can see, very open and honest with their thoughts on the tour. Full of words. Thank you, Charlie, at least, for Jacob, for giving me something to broadcast. This will come out very soon. I look forward to you all listening to it and giving me feedback. Thanks, guys. Right, well, we're back now. We've been back a little while. We're sort of digesting the tour and what it means. So I think, first of all, I'll ask you, Mark, as a parent of two boys who went on the tour, what did you think of it?
It said for the boys, it's invaluable. They've the bonding that they've got with the other lads, even after being 10 years, it brought them even closer. It's an experience that they'll cherish and remember for the rest of their lives, and it an amazing experience for them. I think they grew up a bit with it as well. It's given them a good insight. I mean, my two are doing the Bristol City Robbins Foundation for their further education, and a part of that is that they'll go on tour to Portugal, I think, next year.
Mm.
So that already gives them an insight into what it's going to be
gonna
like.
Happen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And life going on, and even though I was there with them, they also were quite independent as well. Which sets them up quite well, nicely
for that, because they'll be obviously independent on the Portugal tour as well.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, the actual matches themselves, as we've said previously, it was difficult on day two, but what an amazing thing for the boys to get into day two, into that top group with the academy teams.
We're
a fourth division grassroots side,
yeah,
and we're up against academy teams, and yes, they beat it wasn't 10-0, 12-0 hammerings.
No,
it was like 4 goals, which isn't a lot.
No,
it ultimately, you see premiership teams lose by more than that in 90 minutes.
Yeah,
you know, we
you
didn't
see it more than a half, and
yeah, exactly.
Four,
so
five.
So it wasn't like that, but you know, and we're up against academy teams and development sides from like, you know, Scottish League 2 sides and all that sort of thing.
And I said the boys were tired, but they put a shift in. didn't have many subs, so that, and as I said, it was a hell of an experience, and the football they played was fantastic. As I said, the first game on the second day could have easily finished 1-1. We were hampered by a couple of sin bins as well.
And injuries as well.
And injuries.
Said, not having enough players. And that last 15 minutes will sort of live long with me.
Yeah.
Against Spartans, the Scottish sort of League Two sides.
It was only 1-0.
And we pushed them. We took them a long way. So, but as an experience to go on, to take your boys on, take the squad on. I mean, it's a shame that Alfie and Eni couldn't come.
Yes.
But like, I mean, for, you know, Aaron, Bartek, the two, Bradley and Corey from you, the other Bradley, got Charlie and Dan, Harry, Jacob, Josh, Oakley, Ollie and Ronnie.
Yeah.
They were absolutely fantastic. They were really good as players. They bonded well. I mean,
yeah.
I've been chatting to some of the parents afterwards who said that some of the players come back and said, "Who did you mix with?" And they've named players they didn't even go to school with and said,
yeah,
what a great laugh they were. And then I will shout out to the siblings, you know, Jude, James, Robbie and Teddy. They were younger and older, yeah, but the boys took to them. It didn't matter. I mean,
no,
they were doing manhunt, and yeah, the older ones went with them. The younger ones couldn't, but on the coach, at the games, in the pool, didn't matter who they were. It was like, you're here with us, you're part of the squad.
Yeah, no, they were brilliant.
And then the actual two, that was what, on the tour and the actual journey as well, the parents, I think they also made it.
Yeah.
And again, I'm sorry, listeners, I am going to shout out, Dan, Andy, Ben, Dave, yeah, Maxine, and obviously then the four of us, Gaz, Dave, myself and you.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
You know, I mean, but it needs that. It needs the parents, it needs the coaches, the players, the siblings. It's the group that makes, basically a small community.
It is a small community.
And it makes it.
And for this, you know, and you've gone on that journey, so hopefully for a lot of them, they've been for, so you know everybody, and it is a, you know, for when you start out under sevens and under eights, by the time you do get to the end at 15s and 16s and whatever, you are a family. There is the saying, the football family, they are your football family.
But without being too symbolic, they've gone on a journey, and it's a growth journey as well, hasn't it? They've actually, in that sense, and they have grown as a group. And I think, I mean, we're at training now, we're at training the following week, and I think they are much more mature. Normally, when you come down and there's just sort of three or four in one area warming up, there's four or five chatting
all
again.
Together.
They were. We came down, and all 12 of the boys were in a circle, kicking the ball up together. That never happens.
No.
And yet it was. And That's an amazing thing, and I'm sure that's got to be because of the tour.
I would have thought so. I mean, I said they've got that bond now, and it's
brought them together, it's brought them closer. And that's what a tour can do.
It is. It definitely can.
And for you yourself, just as in personal experience of the, you know,
it was fantastic.
96 hours.
You did an amazing. It was an amazing thing to set up. Gone back and said my under 10 girls are already looking at, planning on going to Holland and Centre Parks in a few years' time.
I mean, for me, it was two very tiring days and two great days of football. I absolutely loved it.
Oh,
I said,
brilliant.
For me, it was the second time I've done it. I loved the first time and I loved the second time. And yeah, I would love to take my girls now. And I have to be honest, I have actually inquired about the flying to Barcelona one. It will be a few years, but I've made inquiries.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying we'll do it, but it's whetted the appetite for more.
It was an amazing experience. I think, as I said, it's been a hard year with weather and stuff like that, but it was a highlight. It was definitely a highlight.
And I think, personally, I'll end with this. You are taking your team to a normal tournament, but you're staying there for the weekend.
Yeah.
I'd recommend anyone does that. In the past, we've entered as a local team in one of those organised tournaments. Do that.
Yeah.
My other team in the past, we've gone on holiday as a group and done a tournament. Do that, or go as on a tour.
Just do something. Yeah.
So, all right, Mark. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Andy. Thank you. Take care,
listeners. Thank you.
Thanks, listeners. Bye.
If you like this podcast, then please email us your questions, comments, random thoughts, anything you want to share with us at greengrassroots@gmail.com. You can contact Mark and Andy through X
at Fight Club JFC, or Ben at Red Falcon JFC, on Facebook via Fight Club Junior FC, or Red Falcon Sport. The Fight Club JFC website is www.fightclubjfc.co.uk, and the Red Falcon Insta page is at Red Falcon JFC. You could also type out a fantastic review on Apple Podcasts or give us 5 stars on Spotify. You've been listening to a We Haven't Got a Clue What We're Doing production, produced and edited by Andy Glover.